There's good news.
It's time again for Donald
Trump.
Theater.
No one knows what's up or down.
Black
or white.
Legal
or
impeachable.
Everything is make believe in Donald
Trump.
Theater.
So let's
pull
the
curtain
back.
We are controlling transmission. If we wish to make it louder, we will bring up the volume. We can change the focus to a soft blur.
You're moving into a land of both shadow and substance, of things and ideas. You've just crossed over into.
The things that this show has called him, this approach is, I guess it's kind of like we're living in the Twilight Zone.
Russia had nothing to do with this episode.
Truth isn't truth.
This is a day of national consecration. And I am certain that on this day, my fellow Americans, I will address them with a candor and a decision which the present situation of our people impels. So first of all, let me assert my firm belief that the only thing we have to fear is fear itself.
When you grow up, do you want to be the president? Well, this book shows that anybody can do it. It's called Fear by Bob Woodward. In it, an ogre made of cheese runs the country without knowing anything about how to do it. It's scary and funny and sad all at the same time.
My favorite part was watching the Republic crumble before our eyes.
I like the part where the president ordered the assassination of Bashar al-Assad, but then his generals ignored him.
Don't read it before bed. You'll get nightmares.
And don't read it in the day because you'll get daymares.
What makes you afraid?
Oh, afraid?
Well, what fills you with fear?
The first is not knowing, and that's what we've got to do. We need to know what's going on.
How will we know what's going on? Because the hallmark of Trump's behavior in this book is from day to day, he may or may not remember what his idea was yesterday.
Yes, yeah, that's true, and that's part of the problem.
And you also say the very last line of the book, not to interrupt you, but the very last line of the book, not to give it away, it's worth reading the entire thing, I promise you.
It has the F word.
It has the F word here.
Yes,
this is Dowd, his lawyer, talking about the president.
Right,
he says,
right at the end, after they practiced a session in the White House, and, you know, and the lawyer acts like he's Mueller and he asks the questions of Trump.
Yep.
And Trump goes ballistic, makes things up, starts screaming. Dowd thought if he'd been Mueller, he would have been fired right on the spot.
Right.
And
he says, Mr. President, you know, either you do this my way or you're going to be fitted for an orange jumpsuit.
Yes. And you can't testify. You are disabled. I mean, imagine the lawyer, your lawyer telling you're disabled.
Right.
And you can't testify because you can't tell the truth. You just make things up.
And I'll say it because I don't have the credibility you do. Dowd could not bring himself to say to the president, you're a liar. And that's how you end the book.
Yeah.
I think you buried the lead.
And I would have loved to have spoken to you. You know I'm very open to you. I think you've always been fair.
Quote, the Woodward book is a joke. Just another assault against me in a barrage of assaults using now disproven, unnamed, and anonymous sources. Many have already come forward to say the quotes by them, like the book, are fiction. Dems can't stand losing. I'll write the real book.
And I would have loved to have spoken to you. You know I'm very open to you. I think you've always been fair.
You look at the president's Twitter feed, it doesn't seem to be under control. He's clearly rattled and agitated by Bob Woodward's reporting in the book. He wants people to believe it's a fiction, but then the White House also wants people to believe that this is just griping from disgruntled former staffers, so it can't be both.
Trump's closest aides have resorted to hiding documents from him to stop him from signing or reading them.
Woodward describes an administrative coup d'etat and a nervous breakdown of the executive branch, with senior aides conspiring to pluck official papers from the president's desk so he couldn't see or even sign them.
Woodward also details the actions of some top aides in the White House, including former economic advisor Goldman Sachs veteran Gary Cohn. Quote, according to Woodward, Cohn stole a letter off Trump's desk that the president was intending to sign to formally withdraw the U.S. from a trade agreement with South Korea.
Porter consulted Cohn, Gary Cohn, who told him, according to Woodward, quote, I can stop this. I'll just take the paper off his desk.
The president and his team are going after Bob Woodward and his new book, Fear.
How do you feel when the president says you're lying?
I'm not. What is the contest in America other than the political contest? It's a contest for the truth. What is the truth? And I'm willing to put myself out here. I've done the work. This is the best reporting you can do or that I can do.
And when you're talking about a credibility face-off and the truth emerging, we want to ask who's more reliable, the reporter who broke Watergate, where that truth eventually did emerge, or the man the Washington Post says has made more than 4,713 false or misleading claims since he was sworn into office. By the way, that's an average of 8 claims a day.
The book is selling very, very well. A spokesperson for Simon & Schuster said, we've reprinted 6 times for a total of 7 reprints to meet extraordinary demand. It'll put 1 million books in print before we've even gone on sale. And it's all thanks to the tireless and nonstop work of their social media marketing whiz, Donald J. Trump, who does nothing but talk about it. Trump, of course, claims the book is a work of fiction, like climate change and marriage and things like that. But Woodward stands by his reporting. He claims a key member of the Trump administration told him the stuff he put in the book was 1,000% true. Gee, I wonder which key member of the administration would use a phrase like that.
We're behind you 1,000%.
We will support Israel 1,000%.
You had a rough bout, and now you're 1,000%.
I am with you 1,000%.
We're with you 1,000%.
Well, she's heard it before. This is just the latest in a series of books about the Trump presidency. They all have similar titles. The first book was Fire and Fury by Michael Wolff, and then came Unhinged by Omarosa. This one is called Fear by Bob Woodward, and this is only the beginning. At this point, there are more books about Trump than there are about hobbits. Some of the the new ones on the way are coming next month, Nutjob, Insane Clown POTUS, and all the president's mental problems. That one is 900 pages long.
Nameless, unreasoning, unjustified terror, which paralyzes needed effort to convert retreat into advance.
It's pretty disgusting. That's pretty sad. Perhaps it's a disgruntled person who's been thrown out because they didn't deliver on what they were supposed to do. Listen, I think you're subverting the will of the people. I mean, to try to control the presidency while not the president, you have millions and millions of Americans who voted for this. I think there are people in there that he can trust. It's just, it's a much smaller group than I would like it to be.
Who do you trust?
Well, I'll keep that to myself.
And they're not family?
Well, obviously, yeah, I'm talking outside of family. I think that one goes without saying.
Are you scared that you could go to jail?
I'm not, because I know what I did, and I'm not worried about any of that. You know, that doesn't mean they won't try to create something. I mean, we've seen that happen with everything. But, again, I'm not.
President Spence actually got out today. He spent his day in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, draining the swamp, no doubt, while all manner of hell continues to break loose back in Washington, D.C. But it was good for him. He needed to get out of the office. He was in Billings, Montana last night, with the latest stop on his violent torpedo of untruth tour. And while there, he continued to try to discredit the savage anonymous op-ed that was written by a member of his own administration and published in the New York Times. Someone on the inside, who it was, he still doesn't know, but it would appear, based on some of the things he said in his speech, that he is closing in.
The latest act of resistance is the op-ed published in the failing New York Times by an anonymous, really an anonymous, gutless coward. An anonymous. An anonymous.
Started boxing.
This is one of the most surreal aspects of the moment we're in. The president of the United States regularly has to go on TV and try to convince people that he's not out of his mind. In fact, last week, he just straight up asked his supporters to tell him that he's good at his job.
I beat all these senators, all these governors, all these brilliant political minds. Then I beat the other side. And then I listen. Is he competent? I think I'm pretty competent, right? Don't you think so?
On Wednesday, an unnamed senior White House official wrote an op-ed in the Times claiming that Trump's actions are detrimental to the health of our republic. Trump immediately pushed back, tweeting, treason!
We are learning from Bob Woodward's new book that a tweet the president almost set, some worried, could have prompted a war.
He drafts a tweet saying we are going to pull out dependents from South Korea, family members of the 28,000 people there. At that moment, there was a sense of profound alarm in the Pentagon leadership that, my God, one tweet, and we have reliable information that the North Koreans are going to read this as an attack is imminent.
Kim Jong-un of North Korea proclaims unwavering faith in President Trump. Thank you to Chairman King. We will get it done together.
Trump even bragged about his relationship with Kim Jong-un last night, which is so crazy. I think we forget how crazy it is that he's in front of a crowd in Montana talking about his buddy Kim Jong-un, and people are cheering this. He said, I respect him, and he respects me. Of course, no Trump rally would be complete without him comparing himself to Abraham Lincoln.
You know, when Abraham Lincoln made the Gettysburg Address speech, the great speech, do you know he was ridiculed? He was ridiculed.
Not at all true, by the way. He was not ridiculed. In fact, Kellyanne Conway's husband, who to me might be the most interesting man in the world, immediately tweeted evidence that he was wrong about that, that he was not ridiculed. But the truth isn't necessarily the truth, so go on.
50 years after his death, they said it may have been the greatest speech ever made in America. Pretty good. Pretty good. I have a feeling that's going to happen with us.
47 years ago, that's when this country was really fantastic. That I can tell you. Now we've got all these Irishmen and Italians sneaking across the ocean and stealing our jobs, eating our mutton. And it is a bigly problem, believe me. Huge. And my haters don't even have the courage to criticize me to my face. They prefer to remain anonymous. Anonymous. Boy, I need this word like I need a hole in the head. Anyway, let's make America great again. You're all mentally retarded.
It's tremendously big and tremendously wet.
There is a secret group of senior officials in the White House who say they are trying to stop Trump from being Trump. That's right. They're taking him down from the inside.
Inside job. New fallout this morning from that explosive New York Times op-ed.
It is rattling the White House and the finger pointing is on.
No surprise, Trump is furious, calling on the New York Times to turn the writer over to the government.
Inside the West Wing, there really is this intensifying sense of betrayal. White House staffers don't know who they can trust. The president doesn't know who's loyal to him and who's out to get him.
The obsession inside the White House, the hunt for the anonymous op-ed writer who claims to be the resistance inside the administration. President Trump now calling on U.S. Attorney General Jeff Sessions to investigate, and a source tells CNN aides believe they are closing in on exposing the writer.
The president has become obsessed with finding the leaker, and we know this because of another leaker who leaked that Trump said, "We got to get rid of him. The snakes are everywhere, but we're getting rid of them." But if you're surrounded by snakes, Mr. President, you've only got yourself to blame. You hired them. And if you find out who they are, I think I know what they're going to say.
You knew damn well I was a snake before you took me in.
Well, the effort is still underway at the White House to root out the senior administration official who penned this op-ed in the New York Times, which really does not portray the president in a positive light. It portrays the president as somebody who makes reckless decisions, whose impulses must be constantly checked by the advisors around him. And the White House is still trying to figure out who this person is. A source close to the White House telling CNN the list has been whittled down to just a few people.
Totally quiet. I'm hunting
Lakers.
Kill the Lakers.
Kill the Lakers.
Kill the Lakers.
Kill the
Lakers.
I'll kill the
Lakers.
Fight the lightning! Fight the
Lakers.
What have I done? I've killed the
Lakers.
Poor widow
Lakers.
Poor widow
Lakers.
Now, the person who did this is someone who thinks that Trump is amoral and unfit to be president. That's who we're looking for. So that narrows it down to everybody.
So now Trump's White House is engaged in an aggressive attempt to hunt down and expose the leakers in his government who think he's out of his mind, and they've reportedly considered some extreme measures.
Advisors to the president are considering all their options, including the idea of a lie detector test.
You want Trump staffers to take lie detector tests? Bringing a lie detector test inside this White House is like bringing a Geiger counter to Chernobyl. All right, let's start with you, Kellyanne. Let's start with you, John Kelly. Yeah, you know what? Let's just start with the president. We have a paranoid president who's demanding investigations of his critics. If you're looking for the constitutional crisis, it's here, and it's being aided and abetted by people whose names we don't even know. People who are...
anonymous.
What happened to the Republican Party? How hard can that be? Saying that Nazis are bad.
One person was not soothed by Obama's lilting cadence, Donald Trump, who addressed his predecessor's performance at another one of his rallies.
I watched it, but I fell asleep. I found he's very good for sleeping.
He's right. When Obama was president, I could actually sleep at night. Trump feels surrounded by traitors at this point. It's no wonder that one of Trump's friends said that he fretted after Wednesday's op-ed that he could trust only his children.
To those who believe that this man is a fool, that this man is crazy, that there's something wrong with Donald Trump and it's just the people around him that keep us safe, you don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah. If you're out there saying Trump's a kook or he's crazy, or he's unfit for office, you don't know what you're talking about.
I think he's a kook. I think he's crazy. I think he's unfit for office.
even as a parade of Trump officials quietly warn the public that he's unfit for office, they're letting him hang around to fill a lifetime seat on the Supreme Court with his handpicked nominee, Brett Kavanaugh. And in his confirmation hearing so far, Kavanaugh has been exactly the kind of loyal partisan Trump would want. For example, he's been asked a series of questions that could be crucial to the Russia investigation, like, can the president pardon himself? Does he have to comply with a subpoena? And every time, he has refused to answer even those basic questions.
President Trump claims he has an absolute right to pardon himself. Does he?
The question of self-pardons is something I've never analyzed.
Can a sitting president be required to respond to a subpoena?
So that's a hypothetical question.
No, it's not. The president's lawyer, Rudy Giuliani, is on TV every day talking about how Trump would just ignore a subpoena. Now, Trump has denied all of this, and yesterday in the Oval Office, he called Woodward's book a work of fiction. But that's not what he told Woodward on the phone when he called him just a few weeks ago to complain that he hadn't been interviewed for the book. Woodward recorded the call, and Trump was very complimentary.
I spent a lot of time on this, talked to lots of people.
Good.
And as you know and are living, we're at a pivot point in history.
Right.
And I would have liked to have done that, and I maximized my effort.
Right.
And somehow it didn't get to you. Or
it's really too bad because nobody told me about it, and I would have loved to have spoken to you. You know I'm very open to you. I think you've always been fair.
Oh, my God. How is there always a secret tape that contradicts everything Trump says? Although I guess I shouldn't be surprised the same guy who can be tricked into not signing a piece of paper doesn't realize everyone around him has a GoPro strapped to their heads. But hey, in fairness to Trump, he probably didn't know he was being recorded.
I'm turning on my tape recorder.
Oh, that's
with
okay.
Your permission.
That's okay.
Oh my God. He's like a he's like a bank robber who waves at the security camera. The craziest part of this phone call is when Trump explains that his aides never asked him if he wanted to do an interview with Woodward because they were too afraid.
It's a chance missed, and I don't know how things work over there in terms
of getting to you. Well, if you would call Madeline in my office, did you speak to Madeline?
No, I didn't. But
Madeline is the key. She's the secret because she's the person.
I talked to Kelly.
Well, a lot of them are afraid to come and talk, but you never called for me. It would have been nice, Bob, if you called for me at my office. I mean, I have a secretary. I have two, three secretaries. If you would have called directly, a lot of people are afraid.
So to recap, Trump says Bob Woodward's book is a work of fiction because he never spoke to Woodward because his aides were too afraid to talk to him about doing an interview for Woodward's book, which is literally called Fear. Trump is such a bad liar, even his lies prove that he's lying. Your book called Fear is totally inaccurate, and I would have told you that if my aides weren't too afraid to come talk to me.
Thanks this week for the
song
from
Piero Umiliani,
a
golden earring,
and thanks to
Sarah Sanders, Rudy Giuliani, Franklin Roosevelt,
the
Stephen Colbert, Bob Woodward, Philip Rucker, Seth Myers, Brian
Williams,
Katie Ter,
Jimmy
Kimmel,
Donald Trump
Jr.,
Tara
Palmieri, Oliver Savannah Guthrie,
George
Stephanopoulos, Peter Alexander, Frederica Whitfield, Elmer Fudd, Bugs Bunny, Trevor Noah,
Barack Obama,
Lindsey Graham, Patrick Leahy, Brett Kavanaugh, Diane Feinstein.
preceding show was recorded at Wave Farms WGXC in the Hudson Valley in New York State.